What's up, everyone? Good morning. Sorry for the late beginning to Packers Daily today. The world moves on. Stuff's got to get done. And today just couldn't do 10 a.m. But here at 10:30, welcome to everybody. Good to see everyone in the chat. Good to see everybody talking about Olive getting a dog, which is, of course, never going to happen. But I'm sure she appreciates the effort, without question. Mostly, I think, you know, we just all need to call David Bakhtiari's agent per his t-shirt yesterday and let him know that his guy isn't going anywhere. I'd be absolutely shocked if the Packers allow him to walk. Hello. What's up, Boyan G? How you doing? Haven't seen you since trivia. Nagler, think of the children. Indeed. Morning, everyone. What's up, Corey? Robin, good morning. Ah, Big B is here touting his Jamal Williams goatness, as always. Joseph Nags, are there more wide receivers out there that you love? No. I love the guys in that room. I love the guys the Packers have. I can't wait for the Packers to ball out on offense, especially the wide receivers, just to shut everybody up. How's that? Josh, thanks for the super chat. I hope Demoski's foot and mouth disease isn't as contagious as COVID, or all Wisconsin beat writers are in serious trouble. I mean, I buy Rob at his face value of, you know, why he did it and the fact that he was trying to get Zadarius to talk about a certain aspect of things. But it was kind of funny how it kind of blew up in his face. I was absolutely shocked when he said it last week. But, hey, it made for – look, if we're going to be stuck on these Zoom calls and we can't have any other access, we might as well make it a good time. Might as well make it fun. That's why I asked David if he'd ever had a problem with Rob or if, what he thought of Rob when he met him. What hoodie did David B. pick out? Oh, Joey, that's a good question. I can't remember. I think it was a carry of the G as well. I think that was it. Just like Rodgers. Take a look around. This is your team. Joseph? Exactly. Looney time. Antoine? I guess it's possible. I would be absolutely shocked if he makes the squad, but yeah, it's Looney time. Curtis Blake, Go Pack Go from Boise, Idaho. Go Pack Go from New York City. Thanks for joining me. Stephen White, Malik Turner's impact this year. I would suspect it will be minimal, but you never really know. If he comes in and turns some heads day after day, it's a possibility that he sticks. On a squad that will undoubtedly not be keeping a ton of wide receivers, at least comparatively to previous seasons, it's long odds that he even makes the team. But that's not to say he can't. And I do think he's a pretty damn good weapon with the ball in his hands. He has undoubtedly got a ways to go in the run blocking department, and that is what gets you on the field in Green Bay. But he's got a chance, but there's a long way to go between now and making the 53-man roster. Robin, do you like Heineken? I've had five. You've had five this morning, or maybe it's not morning wherever you are. I enjoy a Heineken from time to time. I used to a lot more, but not a lot recently. Jeremy, can't wait to see Lazard ball out next to Adams. Now you're talking. I think he's in for a big year. I really do. Talk about another guy I really hope shuts a lot of people up. A lot of playing time for Kumaro, Tyler. He's got to make the team first. And even then, I doubt he gets a ton of playing time. It's hard to get him on the field ahead of some other guys. But we know they love his run blocking. They love his dependable nature as far as being assignment sure. Obviously not a dynamic athlete, but 12 trusts him. 12 loves him. That gives you a little something, but he's got his work cut out for him to make the squad, no doubt. So I'm curious if Montrevious Adams could have an impact this season. Thoughts? Thanks for your email reply, by the way. Corey, you're welcome. I mean, he could. He's got to take a big step. You heard Matt Schneiden, I think it was Matt, ask Brian and Matt about him this week. And look, we all know they were kind of counting on him last year and it really didn't materialize. It's definitely a put up or shut up time. I suspect Kingsley Keke is going to take some of those snaps, as will Trayvon Hester, unless he balls out. And that's a possibility, but we haven't seen too many signs of that kind of happening yet. And it's usually long odds that it happens in season three, but you never know. We'll see. How can people say Rodgers doesn't have weapons when he has a top five wide receiver and a top 10 running back, plus a lot of upside with young guys? Joseph, not to mention a pretty damn good offensive line. I get it, man, though. I mean, if people don't see 3-4 deep at wide receiver, they go, oh, the Packers aren't doing their job and putting targets or weapons around Rodgers. But as we've been talking about all offseason, it's about, you know, the five eligible on the field. It's not a question of what position they play. So, yes, running backs count, tight ends count. Jace is going to take that step forward. You have no doubt that Davante Adams and Aaron Jones are premier weapons in the league, et cetera. So, yeah, it's not like he's bereft. And here's the other thing. We've heard Rodgers mention this. I know other people outside the organization have talked about it, this idea that they were one game away from the Super Bowl and then didn't give Rodgers another weapon. They didn't not make the Super Bowl because they didn't have another wide receiver. That is 100% the case. I don't care what you say in response to that, because you're wrong. They didn't make the fucking Super Bowl because they couldn't stop the run in the NFC Championship game. Point blank. If they had been able to even stay in the game, they might have had a chance. But there was no chance. Zero. So, you know, unless there was a wide receiver out there that was going to help shut down the edge against Mostert, none of that. That is totally immaterial. They had all the talent they needed on offense to get to the Super Bowl. Point blank. Should the Packers be concerned about the run defense? Yes. I think a big question is, how does Mike Pettine change? Because they haven't done a ton as far as adding things to the defensive side of the ball, which is understandable, given all the circumstances surrounding the squad. But, yeah, I think it's up to Mike to make the adjustments necessary. I don't know about you, but I think 69, Jenkins, Lindsley, Turner, and Wagner. The real Matt Ike? Not sure how to pronounce that, but I agree for the most part that is the most likely starting five. I do think Lane Taylor is going to get a shot to unseat Turner, but for the most part, that's the best bet as far as how it shakes out. But, you know, we've heard Matt now a couple times talk about competition, especially along that right side, so anything is possible. Oren Burks, do we finally see him this season, or has his window closed? John, it hasn't closed, but I'm not holding out much hope that the light suddenly goes on. I think he is what he is. He's a guy who is athletic, can go sideline to sideline, has real issues getting off blocks, real problems diagnosing in the run game. And I do think he has some value to the team in the fact that he's a damn good special teamer. But man, you burned a third rounder on a damn good special teamer. Really? That's tough. That's a tough one. Do you think the NFL has, quote, figured out McVay? Yes and no. I think part of their problems last year were along their offensive line, more so than anything to do with the game plan or the play calling, what have you. You know, not to mention Gurley having his issues, etc. I don't think people have figured him out so much as they know what the weak spots are in that offense, and he has to work probably a little bit harder, and maybe LaFleur does as well, at being able to counter when people try to take away your bread and butter. But hey, he called some great games last year. The one that comes to mind is the win over Seattle. That was, I mean, just an excellent game plan, perfectly executed. And, you know, I don't think he's so much been figured out as, you know, it's a league that really dissects what's ever working really well. And his offense obviously was. So extra time and effort gets put into figuring it out. And I think Bill Belichick did a really good job in that Super Bowl of showing you, like, look, if you take away this deep developing stuff, they don't really have a short game to get to. And I didn't see really real evidence last year of him developing much more of it. But yeah, I wouldn't say he's been figured out so much as he's been hyper studied. The great failure of Josh Jackson and Oren Burks, Joey. That's a bit dramatic, but We're approaching that time, no doubt about it. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Can Mike Tice always be a head coach to an underperforming team? I miss him looking down at refs all game. I think we should sign King over Jones. A lot going on there, Nathan. yeah, Mike Tice was fun times. Although, you know, he always gave the Packers hell. There's no doubt about that. Think we should resign King over Jones. It's possible the Packers agree. I mean, especially positionally, you would think it's easier to find a running back than it is a quality corner. So I'm not going to completely dismiss that out of hand. Myself, I would sign Aaron Jones, but that's just me. Is there a chance Green Bay keeps six fullbacks / halfbacks on the roster? I don't know about fullbacks. They don't have any left. They cut them all. But I mean, they're going to be using H-backs there, et cetera. But they could go heavy at the back, at the running back position. I think a lot of that comes down to Dexter Williams, because I think you've got Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon, and Tyler Irvin. I'm not going to say those are four locks. Most of them are, but those are pretty all obviously mostly locks, and then one really, really good chance. So past that, guys are going to really have to blow up on special teams and show that they are indispensable in that regard. EQ hasn't played a real game in a long time. How much this weird training camp will impact his game? Julia, if anything, I think it helps him, because it puts everybody kind of on a level playing field in the sense that no one's been in pads since January, and those are teams that were deep into the playoffs. Most teams have had the regular season, you know, done in December or maybe early, first week of January. So nobody's been in anything close to pads, much less in a game. So, yeah, it will undoubtedly be a little kind of bit of a process to bring him back up, but I think everybody's kind of in the same boat, regardless of the fact that he didn't play last year. Hopefully he's fully healthy, which is the whole reason Brian shut him down in the first place, like he did, and he's able to hit the ground running, so to speak. Andrew says, obviously keeping Bakhtiari is a priority, and we jump over whatever is needed to keep him, but due to Ted's history on the O-line, is Brian extra motivated to get a deal worked out? Ted's history? I'm not quite sure what Ted's history on the O-line has to do with anything, other than Ted's history with the O-line is finding really quality guys later in the draft. Plus, they just took three guys. I mean, all of that said, yes, they're going to do whatever they can to keep Bakhtiari. There is little doubt. They are going to pay a king's ransom. And look, when it comes to Bakhtiari, or it comes to Kevin King, or it comes to Aaron Jones, or Kenny Clark, those are the big four, right? People this offseason have bemoaned and bitched about and yelled about the lack of activity. They didn't bring in big names. They didn't bring in a wide receiver. They didn't make, quote-unquote, any moves, which, of course, is silly, but they didn't make any moves. And what they did, they brought in Funchess, who was dirt cheap, relatively. There's a reason. Because they knew they had these guys to sign, and they are going to break the bank. David Bakhtiari is one of, if not the best, left tackle in the league. That doesn't come cheap. Kenny Clark is an ascending, still very young player who is absolutely ready to hit his prime. And one of the best in the game at what he does. That doesn't come cheap. You know, so I understand how frustrating it is to go from an offseason where they went hog wild and overhauled their defense, and then to go to another offseason where they barely do anything in free agency and say, oh, well, they don't sign anybody. They're not serious about a championship, which is fucking BS that I have heard this offseason. They know that these contracts are coming up. And yes, the pandemic and the possibility of the salary cap going down next year makes it much more difficult. But those, as Brian said, are still their priority. Hence why they haven't gone crazy signing people on the outside. They are much more content signing these guys who have been with them in their program and are continuing to play at a high level, and they probably project are going to continue to play at a high level for a long time. That is where they want to spend their money, and I, for one, am on board with all of that. Sorry, I missed a super chat here. Isaiah, they're talking about trading a running back for a wide receiver. What do you think? Who's they? Is that they in the comment section? I think they've made the moves they're going to make at wide receiver with the claiming of the Detroit kid and then signing Malik yesterday. I would be shocked if they traded a running back for a wide receiver. I know people are desperate to trade either Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones, and maybe they listen if the phone rings, but I don't think they're actively going to shop to go for a grocery list of we need a wide receiver. Matthew. Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on.
Ooh, baby, ooh.
There we go. Matthew, where'd you go? Sorry, I want to get back to Matthew here. With the two recent wide receiver signings, does that feel to you like depth addition to, say, wide receiver 5 or 6? Or have you seen anything in those two guys that make you believe that they could challenge MBS, EQ, or Lazard for significant playing time? Much more the former than the latter. I don't doubt for a second that they want to foster competition within that room. And hey, like I said, if guys come in and turn heads every day, make it a difficult decision, so much the better. But yeah, challenging Lazard is going to be tough. But EQ, MVS, all those folks, Kumaro, they're all fighting. They're all fighting for a gig. Zero question about it. Now, there may be deferential treatment to one or the other because they're a draft pick, they know the system, etc., whatever. But yeah, Lazard's a lock. He's going to play. After that, it's a battle royale, and I'm excited to see it. Morning, Packers fans. What's up, Krista? multi-time winner at trivia here on Cheesehead TV. How are you? Corey, you spoke to Pete about the team keeping things under wraps. If you haven't checked it out, it's on the YouTube channel here. I talked to Pete Doherty yesterday for Let's Talk Football. When you're done here, go check that out. Yes, I did. Seems that will certainly help EQ and MVS specifically. Those two could really shock opponents if all goes well. Well, that's true. I don't think, you know, seeing MVS or EQ in a walkthrough is going to tip hands in any way, shape, or form. Brandon, thanks for the super chat. Cheesehead TV's own here. Yes, you are. Tell me why Sternberger will give the Packers their best tight end play since Jared Cook. His athleticism, his tenaciousness in line and in the backfield when it comes to his blocking, which is 3 billion times better than I ever expected it to be coming out of college. His versatility, the fact that they can utilize him all over the formation, including in the backfield. He's going to be a real chess piece. He's going to be a ton of fun. Get on board right now. Preston, thanks for the super chat. What do you think Eddie Lacy's ceiling could have been had he stayed away from the Pop-Tarts? Man, he could have been an all-timer. He could have been an all-time Packer great. I'll always love him. I'll always appreciate what he did when he was in a Packers uniform. But there's no doubt the stuff off the field, problem with his weight, etc., kind of doomed him, which is a real damn shame because I don't think people remember what a complete back he really was. Not just a guy who would, you know, take it out of the backfield and bulldoze some people, but he had some light feet, really good in the screen game, really willing pass protector. He was a good player, man. Real shame. Daniel, can teams revise their fan restrictions if circumstances improve later in the season and the playoffs? Daniel, that's an interesting question. I know that's one of the reasons the Packers have only shut down the possibility of fans for those first two games. Now, teams that have made, you know, season-wide statements as far as like the Raiders or Washington's team have both said, and a couple others have said, there won't be any fans all year. I'm not quite sure. I got to be honest, I'm not 100% sure on the particulars there. I would suspect there's some kind of legal thing going on there where they have informed their season ticket holders and have given people the opportunity to get their money back and or defer payments and or opt out to the following season. And if that is the case, I got to think it would be an absolute nightmare to then open that can of worms back up. So my guess is no, they can't, but that is all it is a guess. But again, like I said, that is undoubtedly why the Packers are trying to do it piecemeal so that if conditions change or whatever reason things become safer or they find a way to keep people safe, then they can say in November when that third home game happens, like, come on in 10 or 12,000 of you. Nagler, what are your expectations for Gary going into year two? Kevin, that he gets on the fucking field. You know, it's kind of mystifying to me how little he played last year. I understand he was behind the Smiths. I understand that they had an outstanding season, both of them, tandem and individually. But, man, he's got to get on the field. It's the only way, A, that he's going to show what he can do, and B, that he can develop into the player you want him to be. You've made this long-term investment. I know you're thinking long-term, so you don't want to rush him out there. He is learning a new spot, or he was last year. But now all those excuses are gone. He's got to get on the field. And when he does, I think he's going to be productive. If you look at his very small sample size last year, if you look at the actually watch the tape, he played pretty damn well. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities. And I do think putting him on the field with Za'Darius is going to be a lot of fun for us, not so much for opposing offenses. Interested to see if the Canadian football free agents make the team. Todd, Begleton is a curious case. I'm very interested to see what he looks like next week when we see him on the field. I think it really comes down for a lot of these guys who are trying to make the squad. You gotta show out on special teams. If you do that, then you've got a shot. And if you don't, you got no shot. It's really that simple. Who's putting the angry face emoji on Facebook? What are you angry about? We're literally here talking Packers football. What is there possibly to be angry about? Small minds, man. Small minds. How many tight ends will they keep going into the season? Isaiah, let me get my crystal ball. 4. How's that? Are any reporters covering camp? Yes, there are. There will be a group of, I believe, 6 that have permanent spots. They are tier 1. Guys like Rob Domofsky, Matt Schneidman, and then I think there'll be a rotating crew from Gannett, including Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, et etc. And then there is a tier two, which is, I believe, more local people, television people, etc. And then there's people like myself who are tier three. I will be there for hopefully most of the practices, not all of them, because there is a limited amount of space. But yeah, you'll get plenty of updates, plenty of practice updates. The only time I absolutely won't be able to cover practice is when they, if there's any kind of weather that forces them inside. I will not be allowed inside the Hudson Center this year. Usually I am, but not this year. Michael, thanks for the super chat. With 2020 college football largely canceled, are 2021 picks more likely to be traded or less? Fantastic question, Michael. My suspicion is that it will make them move more. Not, it really depends on, obviously, how teams and individual GMs and personnel groups value those picks. We've seen, especially recently, that some teams are kind of, I wouldn't say bending towards or becoming less enamored with them, but you've certainly seen there are franchises that seem to continue to treat them like gold, kind of like the Packers, and then there are teams that are ready to wheel and deal, and I think we'll only see people kind of step deeper into those factions, so to speak. So I wouldn't expect the Packers to go hog wild, but I think other teams might. That's a really good question. Javier, thanks for the super chat. Do you think Runyon gets a shot to stay at tackle, or is he locked at guard? Everything they've talked about is starting him at guard. I'd be absolutely shocked if they didn't give him some looks at tackle, though. It only makes sense. It's like last summer. We saw Elton Jenkins. He played center and guard. I don't think we ever saw him at tackle, but, you know, he played center his final year in college, for a long time in college. So it only made sense to give him some snaps there. But obviously, eventually, he ended up at guard, played really well there, had a great season. I think Runyon will stick at guard, but again, I'd be very, very surprised if they didn't give him some reps at tackle at some point. All right, guys, I'm going to have to go. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking some football with me. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video. Hit subscribe on the channel. And if you really want to support what we do at Cheesehead TV, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. You get access to my podcast exclusively. You get most of our content earlier than everybody else. And you really support everything we do, not just here on the YouTube channel, but all throughout social, all throughout the website, everything we do. It really means a lot. But hey, if you can't totally understand, just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.